I didn't leave a job where I had a six-figure income. I wasn't a CEO. I didn't have a package. I was starting from scratch and it was scary. It was really scary. But I had brought myself to the point where I couldn't turn back. I couldn't turn back anymore. So, but I knew like I needed to land. Like, okay, I need to rebuild now. And that was the process of coming in to the somatics, where I really need to learn how to let the trauma out of my body go so that I can relax into my body now and not have that inform my choices and my decisions.
Designers, and welcome back to another episode of Women Over 50 Life Redesigned. My name is Shelley and I'm your host for this podcast, and I'm so glad you've joined us again today. We have Linda Cooper in the house, and what a great conversation. Linda has a background of over 25 years in counseling and contemplative studies. She's the founder of Inward Bound Coaching and Notes from the Edge. I'm dropping those links in the show notes. Definitely go take a look at those and read her post on Notes from the Edge. I love them. I was so inspired by what she wrote. She's a fantastic writer. She is a powerhouse of expertise in transformational learning modalities. She's a trauma-informed counselor, a life transitions coach, and lots of other credentials I'm going to post down in the show notes. So make sure that you take a look at that. She's also has a book coming out. So as soon as that comes out, I will let you know. One of the things I really liked about my conversation with Linda is needing a change in her life. She took off. She wasn't a CEO of a big company. She didn't have a golden parachute. She didn't leave with a six-figure severance package. She didn't have a 401k she could cash out. She didn't have a rich husband. And it was scary for her, but it taught her a lot of lessons, much like I did when I ran away when I was 50. It was a good experience. And we have a conversation about that. I think you will really, really enjoy this conversation with Linda. Before we get started, Linda is a member of the Women Over 50 Life Redesign community off of Facebook. She is part of that group, as many of my other podcast guests are. If you are ready to surround yourself with a group of amazing women who are going out and doing things in the world, creating transitions and, you know, just creating a life that they love, join us over there. You can be inspired, you can be motivated, you can find accountability, and we do lots of other fun stuff over there as well. Check out the link below in the show notes. Okay, friends, on to my conversation with Linda.
Well, hey, Linda, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you taking time to talk to my audience.
Hey, thanks, you, Shelley. I'm really grateful to be here.
So where are you? Where are you? What state are you in? Are you in the States? Are you out of the country? Where are you right now?
I am in Canada. I'm in Ontario.
Oh, I have so many Canadian guests. I need to like just get on a plane and go visit all of you. Seriously, I have so many women that I've talked to from Canada.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. I've been to British Columbia and Vancouver and Victoria. Does that sound?
Yes. Right. I love it out west. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful out there.
Yeah. We took the ferry from Washington, and that's my only trek into Canada. I need to get there more often. But anyway, that's not what we come to talk about today. We're going to talk about your story. And you have, I was, like I said earlier, I was on your website, and you and I have a lot of the same philosophy, and that was super exciting to read. But I'm just going to let you briefly, you know, introduce yourself, tell us what you want about your story, and then we'll go from there. So you have the floor, my dear.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I wanted to touch a little bit on my background, just to kind of get you all up to speed to today. I am a counselor and a coach. I'm a trauma-informed counselor dealing with helping women deal with trauma-filled past and kind of transforming into, you know, the lives that they want to live. So when I touch on my past, I always look at it from the trauma-informed perspective. I grew up in a household where there was alcohol abuse, and I had a sibling, a sister. And what it felt to me when I was younger was we were all spinning in our own little world, and there was no really real cohesiveness within the family. And I can remember going to my girlfriend's home, and I didn't have the language for it back then, but it felt different to me. It felt warm. It felt nurturing. And I didn't feel that in my home. I wouldn't say my parents didn't love me. They did. But the expression of love, the dysfunction, was ruling the household. So, you know, I advanced to my early teens. In my formative years there, there was sexual abuse by my girlfriend's father for about a year and a half, and then another very abusive relationship. So as I came into my adulthood, and my coping mechanism within my family was to withdraw. I went in and in and in. My sister, she was more external. She had panic attacks, so she externalized the trauma, which is also internal as well, but you could see it on the outside with her. With me, it was in and in and in, to the point where I detached and I didn't have access to my feelings. So here I was in my, you know, early 20s, and I thought, you know, I knew I was in pain, but I didn't know anything. I didn't have the consciousness yet. So I ended up getting married to a lovely man who was very much an extrovert, who was the life of the party, who was talked to everybody. And honestly, I couldn't handle it. I was so insecure, and it just triggered me everywhere. We had two children together, and I couldn't, I was being triggered all over the place, and ended up leaving the marriage, sadly. So, you know, entered another relationship. But, you know, it's interesting what we do when we're coming from our insecurities. I gravitated towards someone who had more wounding than I did in his childhood. And so we bonded, our wounds bonded. And so this became a relationship that was very long term. It was about 20 years, and we had a daughter together. And I went through these emotions. It's like, there's something not right. I'm not living the life I'm meant to live. Like, and it was a real disconnect. I went to counseling. I went to psychotherapy, and you know, talking about it is great. It really is. We need to vent, we need space. But it wasn't resolving the issues. And I left my husband four times during those 20 years before I had the courage to leave and stay away. And it was so tumultuous. But I needed to find the strength. I needed to find the inner strength to keep going on. I had three children now, and I was about, this brought me up to my mid, no, sorry, early 50s when the final leaving happened. And I thought, you know, I had this awareness where if I want my life to change, I need to change, because I kept the same patterns, the same thought patterns, the same choices. But if I want something real and good and healthy in my life, it's going to need to start with me. Really going to need to start with me. And that's a big responsibility too, because I had very nice husbands per se. I mean, good men. And I thought, oh, I'm a common denominator here.
Feel that way too. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
And not that I'm taking on all the responsibility for the breakdown of the relationship. There's a lot of different dynamics, but, and so I started to explore, and I had gone back to school during this time, and I got, my counseling, and writing, transformative writing degree. And like, so all those pieces, but I hadn't put them all together yet, because I was still dealing with, you know, the day-to-day lives, you know, family and all that. So that always got put on the back burner. Although I did, you know, start my counseling on the side. But I was also at the same time living my own experience of detaching from relationship and getting healthy and all that. So, so up to speed, like about mid early 50s, I left, and I thought, I need to start again. You know, I had a beautiful condo. I was working a 9-to-5 job to pay the bills, but it was sucking the life out of me. It was not what I was meant to do. I knew it. And it's like, I have to make a big change. So I knew I wanted to travel. And it's like, okay, I need to make a plan. So I ended up meeting this friend who organizes trips. And there was this trip to South Africa. And that was my dream trip, to go on safari, to be with the animals in their natural habitat. Like, I just, like, I need to do this. I need to do this. So I was still at my day job at that point. Mm-hmm. And took some time. And so we went for 2 weeks, but I also stayed an extra week and I volunteered at the Kevin Richardson Lion Sanctuary in South Africa. And I must say, I felt like that's where I felt, this is me. I connected to that freedom, that what brought me joy, because I hadn't felt joy in so long. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I need more of this. I need to feel this way more. What can I do? And who am I? It's like, we put ourselves on the back burner, you know, for us that raise families, we caretake as women, we caretake relationships and you know, with our parents and all that. So it got to the point, it's like, okay, well, what do I really enjoy? It was like, who am I? All these big questions started coming up. And it's like, well, I know I like to travel. I'm still coming out of my shell. So even going into a group and doing group travel, you know, that introvert in me was still, I was getting exhausted on the trip.
Yeah.
But I needed to do it. I needed to do it for me. And that seemed to be pivotal for me. And so from there, it's like, well, I'm in this job and, you know, I have these financial issues coming up to maintain my condo, and but I need the job to maintain the condo. So I just decided, you know what, I'm going to throw it all up in the air. I need to start from a good solid foundation. So I sold my condo and I sold all of my furniture. I had it, packed my life up into 9 totes. I had an SUV. I hadn't quit my job at this point. That comes next. I was off for the summer and I drove across Canada by myself. My son lived in Calgary, or still does. And it's like, I need to do this. I need to connect to me. I need to feel free, because I hadn't felt free within my relationships. I hadn't felt freedom within my own body. I needed to feel free. So off I drove, and it was exhilarating and it was fun, and saw my son and spent time and sightseeing, and it was very experiential. And an interesting thing happened there. It's like things started coming up again. That inner stuff started coming up. It's like, okay, so I've done the geographical thing, but I brought myself with me. So, and then all this stuff starts to bubble up to the surface.
Right.
And what I was learning through studies, you know, is, you know, the trauma that we hold in our bodies that we can talk about, but it actually becomes a part of us. It's in our cells, it's in our organs. And I needed to heal that in order to move forward. And that's been a big piece. I drove back to Ontario to go to my job, which started up in September. And every September I started to get sick. For the past like 5 years before that, my body remembered. It remembered what it felt like going back to that job in September.
Yep.
And I would have these physical manifestations. And so I drove back to Ontario and I sat in the job and it's like, I can't do this. My body won't let me do this. I kept getting ill and I went on stress leave, and I'm so disconnected to who I am in this 9-to-5 job. So I made the decision. I made a decision to leave. And then went to India.
You did? Yeah, like you left the country.
I left. And that was amazing to be immersed in a culture that was so different from ours, with so such different ways. And again, it was just with my friend, and we were on a group tour as well. And I stayed at the end when they all left and went to it's like a Veda 5, it's like a yoga retreat, and stayed there for 2 weeks and did the whole body detox and just again got in touch with how am I feeling, because now the feelings were starting to come back. Now I was in thaw mode all this time, and I came back, and then a friend wanted to go to Italy. It's like, okay, well, I can do this. I'm not at my job anymore. Job's gone. I'm going to do that. Did that. And I was living, I was doing in the interim, some pet sitting at people's homes. I would stay in their homes.
Yeah.
So I had done different things. And so I was, you know, my nine totes were going here and going there, and went to Italy and had a lovely time there and came back, and then realized, you know, I didn't leave a job where I had a six-figure income. I didn't I wasn't a CEO. I didn't have a package. No. I was starting from scratch, and it was scary. It was really scary. No. But I had brought myself to the point where I couldn't turn back. Couldn't turn back anymore. So, but I knew, like, I needed to land, like, okay, I need to rebuild now. And that was the process of coming into the somatics, where I really need to learn how to let the trauma out of my body go, so that I can relax into my body now and not have that inform my choices and my decisions and all that. So it's been quite the journey. In mixed in all that, I started Inward Bound to help people through transitions as well. And so I've worked with people just to support, encourage them through change, because change is not easy. And I know sometimes we hear people's stories and they went from this to this, and there's so much in between, and there's so much ups and downs, and there's so much, should I have done this, and doubting. And it's a real journey. And I think we really need to support each other in these journeys of change and transformation.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. What a story. I loved it. so much to chat about here. I really resonate with your story as in your childhood family, because I grew up with an alcoholic. My dad was an alcoholic, and there was a lot of abuse that went on, not from a physical abuse from my family, but then also sexual abuse from friends of the family. And we don't really realize until we get older that trauma is, it's in our body. What is that book? The body keeps the story.
And the body keeps the score.
Body keeps the score. Yeah. Really great book about how we hold trauma in and how it manifests itself. And so as you were talking, one of the things I flashed upon is, and I'm sure I've thought of this before, but maybe not to the forefront here, is that women who've been in trauma younger, that's the foundation we build our lives on. And it was like you said, that informed your decision. And that is a way of working that is dysfunctional and really kind of broken. I mean, it's not our fault. I'm not blaming anybody, but that's what we know. And that's what we work from. And then I was married a couple of times, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, Linda and I are like, you know, sisters from another mister. But we don't want to start that rumor. So, but yeah, I was just really, really familiar with your story. And then I'm so glad you talked about making this change at a time where you didn't really have the income to do it. And, you know, you're going to leave your job, because I really did a lot of the same. I had no money. I'm just like, I got to get out of here. I've got to do something different. And it is scary, but, you know, you could probably relate to this too. Once you did this thing, and when you got on the other side, you're like, that wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
Yes.
I'm glad I did that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'm always telling women, oh my gosh, it is scary as hell. It is scary as hell to do this. But much like you, you know, I figured it out and the pieces sort of fell together, because I don't like living my life now on what could or what might happen or what might not happen. I just sort of like plow forward. So yeah, I just really resonated with your story so much. And I know that a lot of other women did too. The question, who am I and what do I enjoy, is so hard for us.
It really is.
And, you know, I tell this story a lot back in the day, but I was married to, my second husband was a complete narcissist. And much like your second husband, grew up with definite wounds from his family. And, you know, he was dealing with his, like I was dealing with mine, but he was super controlling. And I got to the point where after I finally left him and moved out on my own, I went to the grocery store, Linda, and I just stood in the middle of the store and I'm like, I don't even know what to buy. Because it was right. like if I wanted to buy something from the grocery store, he'd say, well, now let's look at this as opposed to this. And so I just started with a very simple question of, well, I like coffee and I like coffee creamer. And I'm relaying this story because when we ask the question, who am I and what do I enjoy, we really have to ask ourselves a very simple question at first. And then when I said, oh, creamer for my coffee, and oh yeah, raw sugar, and oh yeah, this and this and this and this. And then I started compiling this whole list of things that I liked at the grocery store. So I always use that example. But why is it so hard for us over 50 particular to be like, I don't know who I am. I don't even know where to start.
It can be so complicated. And I think especially as women, because we are the nurturers and, you know, we're used to putting our needs ahead of others. You know, when we have families and husbands and even jobs, we want to do well, we want to feel successful. And so there's a detachment and we lose focus. The outside, the other people, their happiness is our happiness, is how we look at it. If you're all good, but that's part of a trauma response too. It's controlling our exterior world. If everything out there is okay, then I'm okay.
Yeah.
And so it becomes a trauma response as well as, you know, on the positive side, like a very nurturing response, but it becomes a big question of, because who am I can be so big, but you're so right. If we can just start with one answer, just one small answer. And I started with just trying to pay attention, you know, if I'm looking through a magazine, what am I noticing?
Yeah.
What am I drawn to? What kind of books am I drawn to? What kind of programs am I drawn to? That's where I started.
Good starting point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's what we learn from it. We have to start from somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm a big believer, and I want to talk about the trauma response a little more in depth, but I'm a big believer in, you know, who am I and what do I enjoy? Is just, first of all, you know, like being alert and aware of what lights you up, you know, for a second when you're looking at something or reading something, but also you have to go out and do these things. You have to try these things. It doesn't have to be anything big. You know, you don't have to go jump out of an airplane or climb a mountain or run off to India. Yeah. You know, you can do very simple things, but if we don't start putting ourselves out there and finding what we enjoy, we will never figure out who we are and what we like. But it's so true. It's like, we get so wrapped up in everything around us that just, like, we just soak it in like a sponge and that becomes us. And it's not really us. It's like everything else around us. I was mentioning earlier and a lot of my listeners know this, but I worked for an agency that provided, I was a fundraiser. I raised money for them, that provided services for victims of violent sexual crimes. And the majority of women that came in that were older women, the majority of their victimizations was they were childhood survivors of sexual abuse or, you know, physical abuse, or just childhood survivors of abuse is how we categorize them. It is more common than I think we realize. And one of the things I want to impress upon, and I'll let you talk about this since you're the trauma-informed expert of the two of us, is that it happened to you. And I know a lot of women that came into the agency they finally realized what havoc it was wrecking upon their lives, and that they knew that they had to do something about it. There's all sorts of counselors out there, really great therapists and stuff. But if you've been a victim of trauma, how important it is it to find a trauma-informed counselor or places that are really trauma-focused and trauma-informed?
I mean, it's really important to have that focus, because especially when we're dealing with childhood trauma, this is our formative years. This is forming our brains. This is forming our perceptions, our coping mechanisms, our responses. Everything is stemming from there. And it's going into our psyche. But we don't really realize, and we don't talk about too much, that it goes into our bodies as well. So for instance, someone who, you know, perhaps was sexually assaulted, you know, they were walking, going for a walk and in a forest, or, you know, we'll just choose that as a scenario. They unknowingly can have a trauma response to trees, to, you know, not being able to walk alone. There's so many things that will impact, and it's all multi-layered. So I think having a trauma-informed counselor, they're going to pinpoint, they're going to directly focus in on where it stems from, get right to the root of the issue. And I think that's where the healing needs to begin, is right at the root.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. That's great advice. Definitely. So I will also include, because we've done other episodes of talking, you know, about abuse, being adult survivors of abuse, and I'll drop some links down below for people who are interested in, you know, if they need to reach out for someone, that would be great. So Linda, first of all, I would love to know what you're doing now, how you work with women, where we can find you. So I'm going to let you talk about that. And then if you have parting words of wisdom, I would love to hear those too.
Okay. So now I run Inward Bound, and I chose the name Inward Bound because it really is the inner work that we really need to do for our healing. So I have, I work online and in person for people that are in Ontario pre-COVID. helping people, helping women mainly, work through the body issues. So working through the process of whether it's counseling or coaching, because counseling is different from coaching. We're going through the issues. But also, I also bring the trauma-informed lens into the coaching. So with coaching, you know, you're here now, and you're looking forward, you're needing help, you know, going over those hurdles and manifesting. Yeah. But again, we're also bringing ourselves into that. So I help women just through writing as well. Like, I use the tool of writing a lot, and somatic writing. So that's a way of really giving voice to your pain, giving expression to what you're really feeling in your body. And for a lot of the survivors, we are disconnected from our body. So if we write it down, if we start journaling, we have this safe container, and we have a witness to our experience, a non-judgmental witness to our experience. So I help
people
as a writing coach too. So it's all about creating safety in our nervous systems, our whole body, around us. And so just helping women with tools to move forward, to move beyond, to heal, and to then step into, because we don't feel we deserve, you know, we're the caretakers. And part of that is, okay, let's get in touch with who we are, what we like. Now let's take that a step further. How do we want to manifest that into our everyday lives? So that's what I help women with.
I love that. And I want to say that I was on your Notes from the Edge. I don't know if you're still blogging regularly over there, but you're just a beautiful writer. So I encourage women to go. I do have a question though, before we get to your words of wisdom. Somatic writing. So you're talking, I'm not familiar with that phrase. So you're talking about writing about what you're physically feeling at any given time, or during a trigger response, or How does that work exactly?
It's a tool to use. You can use it in the moment, or you can build it into the structure of your day. So for instance, if we look at it at the end of the day, you're reflecting on your day, not just what happened, but how am I feeling about what happened? And then exploring underneath the surface of, okay, where is this coming from? Why am I having this lens? Why am I reacting this way? So it helps to dig deeper, but within the safety and the brackets of the journal, where you can, and it really is learning to ask the questions, because we can journal, you know, today I went to work and this happened, but it's helping people to go deeper than that, to our responses.
Yeah. That's where the real understanding comes from, because, you know, I can write all day about, oh, the sun's out, I like my coffee and, you know, whatever, but then we're always, it's just like physically doing things like, you know, quitting your job and, you know, traveling and stuff. The letting out of emotions and, you know, why am I feeling this way is just as scary. Because, you know, you also talked about, your responsibility for your life starts with you. That was one of the greatest lessons I learned when I was out in California. But I will tell you, much like writing about how you physically feel, taking responsibility is scary for your life, especially if you've been in situations where you've had other, I don't want to say you've let, but where other people have, you know, basically like you've just absorbed all their stuff and that's just who you are and what you do. And I was forever asking, you know, wanting people to make my decisions for me, because then if something went wrong, well, it wasn't my fault. See what he did? Right. You know, that's how I acted for many years. Everything was everyone else's fault. But taking responsibility for your life, first of all, is scary, Linda, but it's also super empowering to make your own decisions.
Yes.
And, you know, working with an individual like yourself, Linda, especially if you've got trauma in your background first, you know, getting a handle and taking care of that and understanding that is also going to be super empowering, you know, because someone who's been through it, I cannot, relay that enough to the women that I talk to. But it's scary. But like we said before, once you get through it, it's not as bad as you thought it was going to be.
That's right.
And you're in an entirely different place, and it just feels so good.
That's right. It does. And it's very freeing. And, you know, I help women create a framework for transition. So I also teach the transition process. So we realize, okay, I'm within a process, and there is a beginning and there is a new beginning. Like there's an ending that we start with. And we work towards the intermediate, the unknown part. But as we go through, I do come out to our new beginning. We really do.
I love that.
And it's the supports that we're able to put in place. And when you say empower, like that is such a powerful word, to be able to empower ourselves and learning how to do that. And it really can begin with, in a grocery store, what's one thing I can choose that I like?
Yeah.
And then you're on that path.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Cool. Great stuff. So, hey, gosh, thank you so much. This has just been such a great conversation. I have loved this so much. Do you have any parting words of wisdom for our audience? It's one thing I like to ask. If you do, that's great. If not, you know, don't want to put you on the spot or anything like that.
No, that's fine. It's been a pleasure to be here and share with your audience. You know, I think, you know, for women, just to learn to love ourselves. And I know we hear that a lot, but I find even like somatically, getting in touch with the body. Yesterday, I was putting my hand on my heart, like feeling my heartbeat, like I'm alive, I'm okay. And comforting ourselves and encouraging ourselves to, okay, you can do it. I know this is hard, but sometimes it's harder to stay where we are than to move forward. We feel like it's really hard and it's going to be, we're diving into the unknown, but I found with my experience, staying was hurting me more.
Yeah.
I needed to move. And that's how life, it nudges us. It nudges us like, come on, you can do it. and just to kind of put your hand on your heart and go, I know, like, I can do it. I got this.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate
it. Thank you so much. Okay. Take care.